If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
October, man, it is packed to the gills every year.
Sure is.
What we just started, I don't think we mentioned this last time. We're just a few sessions in to starting
power yoga.
That's true.
Oh man.
What was that? My fourth class.
My third. Needless to say, I've not done yoga before.
Also my first hot yoga. I've done some yoga, but
sure.
This is my first like hot yoga.
And Oh my God. Whew. And it's not even just, I mean, the heat is one element, but it's the, I mean, it is a strength exercise and flexibility. You know what? Everything they say about yoga is true. It's hard.
I know. It is
hard. It's intense.
Yep.
And I'm going to come out of this looking like Ryan Reynolds crossed with one of the Hemsworth.
Ooh. I can't wait for that.
I would say 3 more weeks.
Nice.
Yeah. It's about 6 weeks of work for them, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
At least.
If that.
Yeah. Maybe five.
Yeah.
And but just because they can do it, you know, full time.
They probably eat half a pizza every other night, right?
Definitely.
All right. Then I'm right on
all
track.
All the meats for protein.
Oh, I don't eat meat. Oh, crap. Now I'll never look like Ryan
Listen,
Reynolds.
Vegetables do nothing for you.
What else is going on this month?
Let's see. Well, it's Halloween month. It's spooky season.
Halloween.
So what isn't going on? We got stuff to do. We got costumes to plan.
Yeah.
Because we actually have a party to go to this year.
Oh, crap.
We got a parade.
A couple of parties.
A little Five Points Halloween
parade.
The Five Points
Halloween parade is a time-honored Atlanta tradition. If 100%. You've never been, it's a wacky, wild, good time.
I mean, it's pretty much the preeminent Halloween weekend of activities.
Yeah. In Atlanta.
Yeah. Because it's like a whole weekend of various stuff. They got a haunted house. A 3D haunted house, which I don't know what that means, because all haunted houses are 3D.
The last haunted house I went into was in the third dimension.
In fact, they're usually 4D. You can like smell things too. But
well,
like,
yeah, and they take time. That's a dimension, right?
That's also true.
So question
the 3D element.
Quite honestly, I'd be more impressed to experience a two-dimensional haunted house.
It's all in a coloring book or something.
Well, I will have a hard time doing that this month too, because I'm also remounting the show that I was in, last year? When we did Tipsy Tales Presents Robin Hood. It's a live show that I'm the narrator in. I'm the Alan Adale, or
right.
the rooster, if you're only familiar with Disney's Robin Hood.
I wish you were dressed like a rooster.
Look,
it would add something.
To be fair.
Oh, really?
I had a lot of pomp.
I love that.
And pizzazz. But yeah, we do, the producers of the show wrote this hilarious script, just a 1-hour sort of Robin Hood story, mm-hmm. the traditional Robin Hood story.
Classic.
But each night of the show, one actor gets pretty drunk before we go on, an assigned actor,
mm-hmm.
and then continues drinking throughout the show. And we just have to sort of improv around whatever shenanigans happen.
They're given full rein to destroy their part, any scene.
And they do. Last time we did this, main characters were dead halfway through the show. And we as the actors just have to go with whatever the drunk does.
Mm-hmm.
If it's safe, we have to kind of just roll with it. And so it would just randomly, like, Maid Marian got killed halfway through the show one night. And we just had to...
I feel like there was a romance.
Twin, we had to get her twin to come back or something.
Oh, that's right.
It's chaos.
I feel like there was a romance between Robin and one of the other...
And the sheriff.
And the sheriff. That's what it was.
Yep. The sheriff was in love with Robin
Hood.
And
one of them. That's right. That was really fun.
So
it'll be a good time.
Anything can happen. I know some people asked last time when we talked about it if they could see it. And we only did one weekend last time. We're only doing one more weekend this time.
Mm-hmm.
A few different actors, but otherwise mostly the same show. And it's the weekend before Halloween in Atlanta.
Right.
So shoot us a message if you are in the city and want to catch it, because it's a good time.
It is a good time. It's a lot of fun. Plus, you're, of course, encouraged to drink. I believe
the,
as
audience,
the audience.
Yes, not me.
Not you. You're
in
not
fact,
encouraged
I'm,
to drink.
I'm in charge of the drunk on stage and making sure they don't die. So I specifically am not drinking.
That's right. You're the babysitter. But the rest of us are allowed to drink as much as we want.
Oh, yeah. It makes
they
a
like
show.
A rowdy show.
Look, alcohol is every comedy theater show's best friend.
It does help a lot for people to be a little loose.
Yeah.
You know?
But seeing as how it's October, that, mm-hmm. of course, changes everything around here on Ridiculous Romance,
yeah, that's
too.
Right.
Because year one, we started this tradition almost by accident. And we've loved it. Y'all have loved it ever mm-hmm. since. It's time for Ridiculous Romance. And that's when we take the spookiest, scariest, grossest, creepiest stories we can find. That still fit the Ridiculous Romance category, and we try and do them once a week throughout October.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight will be no different. In fact, a nice roll-in to the season, I think.
True, because we're going to talk about Queen Victoria.
Oh, not
today.
Who I think of when I think horror and murder and mystery.
I know, it's so true. We are not amused. But no, Queen Victoria actually had quite a fascination with the spirit world.
Oh.
She was a very powerful queen. Obviously, she had one of the longest reigns in British history until, of course, our girl, Queen Elizabeth II. She was very ably assisted by her husband, Prince Albert. And these two had a, like, Hollywood romance. They fell head over heels in love with each other. They were sexy into each other. They were doing it all the time. And when he died... She suffered really intense depression. So when a 13-year-old medium named Robert James Lees claimed to have a message for her from her late husband, Victoria was all ears. So for our first Ridiculous Romance of the spooky season, let's find out how Queen Victoria ruled over the British Empire with the help of her husband's ghost.
Let's go!
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana say welcome to hell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about corpses who are lying in crypts. A lover might be any type of monster at all. A ghoul, a ghost, or a demonic doll. But if there's a spirit worth a second chance, we'll put it in our show, Ridiculous Romance!
A production of iHeartRadio.
So, Victoria, she was fifth in line to inherit the throne when she was born in 1819. But ahead of her were two elderly uncles with no kids, her Uncle William's two daughters, both of whom died as infants, and her own father, Edward, who died when Victoria was only a year old.
Jeez.
So even though she didn't become the, like, official heir presumptive until she was 11, you know, it was pretty easy to see that she was going to inherit.
Well, like, yeah, people kept dropping off around this baby.
Seriously, man, like, this is some weird shit.
I'd be looking at this baby fifth in line and being like, numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4, suspiciously. That's the first mystery. Which of the Pickwick triplets
did it?
Baby murderer.
Okay, we clearly just finished Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
So yeah, many people were like, okay, it's definitely going to be this little girl. Except for Victoria herself, funnily enough. Her governess, Louise Lezen, slipped a copy of the genealogy of the House of Hanover into one of Victoria's, like, lesson books.
Mm-hmm.
And when she studied it, that's when she realized, like, oh, shit, I'm going to be the next monarch. And she is reported to have said, quote, I will be good.
Oh.
She is like, I've seen some shit kings and queens in our past.
I'm
going to try to be a good one.
Wow.
And that became like kind of a big folk legend that she didn't know until she saw. And then she was like, I'm going to be good.
So she meant I will be good. I will be good at it. I will be kind.
I'll be a good
and not
queen.
Like,
yeah.
And neither, I'll be good. Like, I'll be the best there is. Which is never a good attitude to take into a leadership position.
It could have been that, but I feel like
or
it's more.
Was she like, I'm good. I'll be good. You guys can have it. I'll be good.
Somebody call, I don't know, one of my old uncles or something. He's still around.
Well, if she became queen before she turned 18, of course, the nation would have a regent in charge. And that would have been Victoria's mother, the Duchess of Kent.
Ooh, the Duchess of Kent.
Now, unfortunately, the Duchess of Kent was close as crabs with her comptroller, Sir John Conroy. Some people even thought that they might have been lovers. Of course, a lot of scholars have dismissed that idea. But together, these two schemed up all kinds of ways to keep Victoria under their control and away from her powerful uncles. Mm-hmm. We've seen this 1,000 times in every sort of historical, regal drama, that regency drama that we see. It's always this.
The power behind the throne.
Uh-huh. Now, they created what was called the Kensington System, and this was an elaborate set of rules about how Victoria would be educated and how she could behave and with whom she could spend her time,
right,
which was only these two other kids and her dog, Dash, little spaniel. Mm-hmm. So this Duchess and John Conroy, along with the Duchess's lady-in-waiting, Flora Hastings, who also rumors that might have been the Duchess's lover.
The funny thing about this is that, like, if you're in a court, everybody's like, she probably fucking somebody. You know, they're all just whispering. I bet they fucking.
That is not unlike today.
It's so true. It's so really, I'm like, I don't know how much I believe any of that.
People are always like, two people, a man and a woman spending time together? Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Two women spending time together? Uh-oh.
I mean, I guess there's not a lot to do in this time period.
That's true.
So maybe that was what like else a common way to while away.
A chess game only lasts so long.
There's only so many books one can read.
Well, regardless, still just rumors. Point being that the Duchess and Conroy made Victoria's childhood extremely lonely and isolating, right? That was kind of the point. The idea was to make her really weak-willed, really dependent on them for her judgment, so that even once she was old enough to rule alone, they would still have a lot of power concentrated in their hands.
She would constantly be turning to them, like, what should I do? What should I do?
Mm-hmm.
But as she got older, Victoria was pressured constantly to make Sir John Conroy her personal secretary, which was given quite a lot of power over, like, you know, her messages and everything else around her. But by then, she hated Sir John, she hated her mother, and she hated Flora Hastings. She refused.
The three people who oppressed her entire childhood, she wasn't fond of?
Didn't like anymore.
Sorry, that plan backfired.
All right. And fortunately, she was not the only one who disapproved of this little contingent that was about her ears. You know, like her uncle, King William IV, once declared in the Duchess's presence that he intended to live until Victoria was 18 just so they could avoid a regency with her in charge.
Oh,
which I just think is so funny. He's like, I can plan my death. And guess what? It's time to keep Mama make sure that you never have an official role here.
Amazing.
He also, of course, had some thoughts about who Victoria should marry,
Oh, yes, of course.
And he favored Prince Alexander of the Netherlands. But her other uncle, King Leopold of the Belgians, offered up his nephew, Prince Albert of Saxe-Coburg and Gotha.
I also love that William and everybody hated these three so much because I have to relate everything back to TV to make it work in my brain because I'm a millennial and I'm broken like that. You could just see these characters just being the most sniveling, obnoxious, power hungry. And how could you not see that constantly? It's so obvious. You know when these schemers are scheming.
Oh, yeah.
They're not subtle about it. Well, the minute that Victoria met her cousin Albert in 1836, poor old Alexander, King William's choice, didn't stand a chance. Because Victoria went straight into her diary and started writing about how handsome and charming Albert was, while Alex got one line about being, quote, very plain.
Damn. I mean, it's like galling because it's like paragraphs of like his beautiful face and charm of manner and whatever. Right. And then she's like, Alex, he was there too.
she's doodled in the margins. Mrs. Albert of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha. And then, yeah, a little doodle of Alexander with like a fart cloud around him. Oh, no. Victoria even thanked her Uncle Leopold for, quote, the prospect of great happiness you have contributed to give me in the person of dear Albert. He possesses every quality that could be desired to render me perfectly happy. He is so sensible, so kind, and so good, and so amiable too. He has, besides, the most pleasing and delightful exterior and appearance you can possibly see. But since Victoria was only 17 at this point, marriage itself would have to wait a little while. But it was pretty clear that she had her eyes on the prize.
She knew who she wanted at this point. But Victoria turned 18 on May 24th, 1837. And less than a month later, King William died.
Oh my God,
so
wow.
He was like clinging to life until her birthday.
I just want to make sure the Duchess of Kent is not in control here. He's like, oh, thank God I can die.
Give me the cocaine. Keep my eyes open until May 25th. So anyway, he died. She became the Queen of England.
Okay.
And as queen, she started off pretty popular. You know, she's young. She's beautiful, right? They're all like, mm-hmm. yay, love this beautiful queen of ours. But then the Duchess's lady-in-waiting, Lady Flora Hastings, started walking around with what looked like a baby bump.
Oh.
And she wasn't married. So this caused a lot of talk. And Victoria, of course, hated that bitch. So she was very excited to talk about her. She's like, yeah, she probably is pregnant. And guess who I think the dad is? Sir John Conroy, that other bitch.
Oh, man.
That I hate.
Wow.
So she was kind of getting in on these rumors. They got worse and worse. Finally, Flora agreed to an official, like, medical examination.
Okay.
This medical examination found out that A, Flora was a virgin. B, she was not pregnant, so we don't have, like, a messiah situation going on with Flora. C, she had a large tumor on her liver, which had distended her stomach, and she only had a few months left to live.
Oh, my God.
It's like the worst possible outcome.
That's awful. Especially to be like,
examination.
Talking shit like, oh, she's pregnant out of wedlock. And then find out, oh, no, she's terminally ill.
Not only is she a virgin, has never had sex.
Wow.
She's like terminally sick.
Oh,
and you've been
awful.
Making fun of her tumor this whole time.
Yeah. So this was pretty crushing. And Victoria did feel very bad. It's reported that she had nightmares about Flora for years afterwards. So a lot of guilt there.
Right.
Which is, you know, just a lesson for everybody. We don't need to be talking shit so much. You know, it's going to come back and bite you. But it wasn't just that. It was also Sir John Conroy, Flora's family, the opposition party, the Tories. They all got together and they started a press campaign criticizing Victoria for throwing a dying woman into a months-long scandal and making her final months miserable.
Yeah.
So she's already feeling bad. And all these people are like, yeah, you should feel
right.
bad.
Right. You're a real piece of shit.
They were hoping to discredit her so she would be forced to give Conroy a position in her court. And they did succeed at making her very unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as Victoria had become queen, she had relegated Sir John Conroy and her mother, the Duchess, to a small, faraway apartment in the palace. And she refused to see either one of them. But since she was still single, she did still have to live with her mother, which meant, of course, that she still had to live with John Conroy, too, who was her chief tormentor.
Right. So the whole time this is happening, this man's in her house. I mean, it's Buckingham Palace. She's not tripping over him, but she's like, get him out of my house.
Right.
So she's complaining about this to her prime minister, Lord Melbourne at the time, who told her, of course, the quickest solution would be to get married.
Sure.
Because then she could evict her mother and her mother would take John Conroy with her. And Victoria called it a, quote, shocking alternative. But, you know, she was still totally crushing on Albert. So she, you know, she was kind of like a little not wanting to get married and give up, you know, some of her position as queen.
Right.
But also she's like, let me get this hottie up in my bed.
You got to lock that down.
With a body up in here. So she finally proposed to him and they were married in February 1840. And Victoria discovered sex.
Oh.
She wrote in her diary after her wedding night, quote, I never, never spent such an evening.
Oh, my God.
My dearest, dearest, dear Albert. His excessive love and affection gave me feelings of heavenly love and happiness I never could have hoped to have felt before.
Oh.
He clasped me in his arms, and we kissed each other again and again. His beauty, his sweetness and gentleness. Really, how can I ever be thankful enough to have such a husband?
Oh.
To be called by names of tenderness I have never yet heard used to me before was bliss beyond belief. Oh, this was the happiest day of my life.
Jeez.
I mean, she is
God. I feel like I'm going to hear Senator John Kennedy reading that out on the Congress floor.
I will give you the best blowjob of your life.
That's in the news. If y'all haven't seen that one yet, look it up. Senator John Kennedy reading a pornographic book is one of the best clips of the year.
And one of the least sexy things you'll ever hear.
Shocking. We could probably do a whole episode on that.
Unerotic. But yeah, so she is like,
I found out
what an orgasm is.
Right, basically.
I'm very excited about it, and yes. I want more. Let's do this.
Albert, a generous lover, it sounds like.
Albert handled business.
Man, this is probably why she wanted to put him in a can. Prince Albert in a can?
I don't know this.
You know,
I don't know this. Sorry, I made that joke fall roll flat. I don't know what you're talking
about. It's a very old joke. It's like a Prince, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Well, let him out of there. Because I think it's a chew tobacco product.
Oh.
Or no, it's a pipe tobacco.
Pipe tobacco. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let him out of there.
It's real bad. Anyway,
oh my God.
This has been Eli's 80-year-old jokes. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
I thought Prince Albert was the piercing.
Yes, it is. Yes, also,
know,
you don't put that in a can.
Maybe he had a penis piercing that added to the situation. I don't know why it's called the Prince Albert.
Readers, let us know.
Let us know. I don't feel like
adding that to my Google searches.
No, thanks. So at any rate, all that to say, Queen Victoria loved doing it. She's real into whatever Albert had going on downstairs.
Mm-hmm. Man had the moves.
Within 2 months of their marriage, she was pregnant.
Okay.
And of course, her popularity soared once again. Nothing better than a pregnant queen.
People love a pregnant queen. And, you know, they kept at it all day, all night, every surface of Buckingham Palace.
Probably.
In all, they would go on to have 9 children together. The two of them also together weathered several assassination attempts. And these actually made Albert more popular with the public because he was very cool-headed in a crisis. Mm-hmm. He was a quiet guy, but he was a great dad. The fact that all 9 of their kids lived to adulthood was credited to Albert's, quote, enlightened influence in running the nursery by a biographer named Hermione Hobhouse.
Love that name.
Hermione
Hobhouse.
Hobhouse.
Very British.
Yeah. Albert even got Victoria to dismiss her old governess, Louise Lezen, who had been kind of running the household the whole time before him. Mm-hmm. Lezen had been the one who helped Victoria build a strong personality in spite of this Kensington system her mother and Conroy raised her with. And she had supplanted Victoria's mother in Victoria's own affections.
Victoria called her a
motherly figure than her mother herself.
Victoria called her mother on several occasions.
But Lezen was also the one who was out there spreading rumors about Flora Hastings. And that kind of blew back against Victoria. Albert hated her for that. So to keep him happy, Victoria pensioned her off.
I mean, it says a lot about her feelings for Albert that she was willing to send this lady away who had been like her main source of comfort for so long.
Yeah.
And Victoria also relied on his advice and assistance. But fortunately, Albert had some cool notions. He was actually for child labor laws instead of against. He was like, maybe kids shouldn't be working.
Oh, child labor laws. I'm for child labor laws in that we should stop. We should put children to work.
Not we should put them to work. No, at the time, it was a big thing whether kids could work in factories or whether, you know, whatever. And he was like, no, kids should go to school. Mm-hmm. Kids should not do that. He also wanted to abolish slavery worldwide.
There you go.
He's also credited with being the guy who kind of felt that the British royal family should be above politics. So he's sort of the reason we have this distance between the royal family and the parliament that that seems pretty average now.
Yeah.
And he also arranged the Great Exhibition, which is basically the first World's Fair.
Wow.
And people like fought him every step of the way. They were like, don't bring that foreign stuff into my country or whatever. But of course, it was an enormous success. So they were like, oh, shit, Albert's a smart guy. So over the years, his influence only grew. And he ended up like helping with Victoria's government paperwork. He started drafting her correspondence. He would attend cabinet meetings. He would even see cabinet ministers alone without Victoria. So a clerk named Charles Greville wrote in his private journal, quote, "He is king to all intents and purposes."
Man, I want to put this guy in a can and carry him around.
Right, he sounds like a smart guy.
Just, oh yeah, things look pretty dark. I'm going to pop open a can of Albert.
See what happens.
But, you know, it's ridiculous romance. Mm-hmm. And as is often the case, tragedy awaited. Their eldest son, Bertie, was at Cambridge at this point, and the Queen had heard that he was consorting with an Irish actress named Nellie.
Uh-oh.
An actress? Excuse me. They were terrified that this girl was going to get pregnant or start some kind of scandal or even start blackmailing Bertie, something like that. So Albert went to visit the kid and discuss him, you know, getting his shit together.
Right.
A few weeks later, though, Albert died of typhoid fever. But 2 years prior to his illness with typhoid, Albert had been dealing with intense pain in his stomach and legs. So there's some scholars that think that he might have already been suffering with Crohn's disease or maybe even kidney failure or stomach cancer.
Mm.
So unsure exactly what it was that led to his death or that he would not have died soon anyway.
Right.
But Victoria was devastated. Obviously, we know how much she loved him, and she went into deep mourning. She would only wear black for the rest of her life. She locked herself away from the public. She became so remote that she was known as the Widow of Windsor. She slept with a plaster cast of Albert's hand, and she also kept Albert's room exactly the way it was. Wouldn't touch anything. The servants even came in each night to lay out fresh clothes and hot water and change the sheets, even though no one was in there.
As if he was coming home.
Yeah.
I find that so sad.
Yeah.
A plaster cast of his hand makes me really sad. Because you know she just wants to hold
it. She just wants to hold it.
Like,
yeah.
Ugh, that's so sad.
Yeah. I mean, unless your mind slips into the gutter like mine, but I'm going to go with she was just holding his hand up against her face on the pillow at night.
These hands.
I mean, I think he was probably good with his hands.
He was very good with
from those diary entries.
Okay. However, speculation station. It was a masturbation aid.
All right.
But not long after Albert's death, someone brought a startling story to Victoria's attention. It was the editor of a spiritualist magazine who had recently sat in on a séance. Now, at this time, spiritualism was as in vogue as scientific advancements.
Sure.
It's sort of the funny thing about the Victorian age.
The
spirit, you know, alongside everyone being like, let's measure and weigh, categorize everything. Mm-hmm. They were very concerned with the unknowable, you know, which is really interesting. Nothing preoccupied the Victorian mind more than if there was life after death, and if so, what was going on it? How can I talk to you?
I guess that makes sense. If you're in an age where you're really looking at a lot of scientific advancements and you're trying to answer, I mean, isn't that what science often is the pursuit of answering the unanswerable?
Right.
So your mind is already in that place and you're just like, okay, I figured out why water turns to steam when you heat it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me what happens when we die.
Right. Can
That's
I not
next.
Talk to my mom? Yeah. You know,
like, it goes in that order.
Right.
Water into steam. What happens when we die?
Amazing. There's so many reasons that it took off spiritualism. And one of them I think is interesting is that they found women to be better mediums than men because they were considered more spiritual.
Sure.
So there's a lot of women's rights sort of marched along with spiritualism and mediums and stuff because they were able to gain some power and influence. They were able to make money on their own. So all that to say, spiritualism is huge at this time. Everybody's into it. Even Charles Dickens, our old friend, who did not believe in spiritualism at all, was writing ghost stories.
Sure.
So, you know, people were real preoccupied.
I know it sells.
Exactly. Victoria and Albert had even attended a few seances themselves.
Oh, okay.
Victoria particularly into this. They even awarded a particularly convincing medium with a medal for, quote, meritorious and extraordinary clairvoyance.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm.
So after Albert died, Victoria received this letter from this editor of the Spiritualist magazine telling her about this seance that he had attended. She probably would have been interested anyway, but it was even more attention-grabbing because he said that the 13-year-old medium, Robert James Lees, had received a message from beyond for the queen herself. And he claimed that it was from the Prince Consort, Albert.
Oh, my God.
What did Albert have to say? We will tell you right after this quick break.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome, spirits,
back
to the show.
Ooh, I just got a chill. The curtains just rustled. Look, most of the information that follows here comes from the book Whisperers, The Secret History of the Spirit World by J.H. Brennan. Now, a chunk of the book concerning Queen Victoria was reprinted in the Daily Beast. So that's where we found most of this. Brennan says that, of course, any historian will tell you that Victoria had a nervous breakdown after Albert died, and she retreated from public and political life for over 2 years. She stopped trusting her own judgment. She preferred to wonder what Albert might have done. But Brennan suggests that she actually found a way to ask for his advice as if he were still alive. When she heard about this message that Robert James Lees claimed to have, Victoria had to move carefully. She wasn't stupid, right? She did have a healthy skepticism about Lees, about, I'm sure, mediums in general.
Oh,
even
God.
When she was having a good time and saying, oh, you did so well. She's like, okay, but rationally, if I had to say. So it wasn't unusual for a famous death to attract all kinds of fake mediums pretending to have messages for the grieving family. Victoria knew this as well, so she summoned a couple of her courtiers and told them to attend the next Lee's seance undercover.
So using fake names and not revealing their connection to the palace, the two courtiers went to the seance. Now, according to Brennan, these men were not believers in spiritualism.
Okay.
So they were probably trying not to laugh as they entered the seance room.
Sure.
Which would have likely been filled with candles and oil lamps on low, maybe decorated with red drapes because that was believed to enhance communication between the living and the dead.
Mm.
Now, the participants would have all held hands as Robert James Lees welcomed the spirit of Prince Albert to join them. And we don't have details of the exact methods used by Lees. There were lots of different methods that mediums used at this time. They often communicated with spirits through taps and raps, so they would ask a question once for yes, twice for no.
Okay.
Sometimes they would go into a large cabinet for part or all of the seance, and they would maybe shout messages that they were receiving from inside the cabinet, or they would come out possessed by the spirit. Often the cabinets would then be covered with, like, gooey ectoplasm.
Oh.
So there was proof that some uncanny activity had happened in there.
Ooh.
Some used Ouija boards, or they had pencils rigged up over paper, so messages would be written or drawn by an unseen hand.
And it seems like Lees would go into a trance in front of his guests, because, to the courtier's surprise, Lees began to speak in Prince Albert's voice. It was uncanny. They grew more and more uneasy as Lees described private details of life at the palace that only Albert would have known.
I'm trapped in this can. My penis was pierced.
Who else could have known these things? Even more terrifying, he called the courtiers out by name. Their real names, not the fake ones that they had given Lees. They were forced to admit that they were there on the Queen's behalf, and they questioned the ghost of Albert further. What they heard impressed them so much, they sent a glowing report to Victoria. This medium might be the real deal.
Victoria had barely finished reading it when she received a letter from Lees, a letter he said was really from Albert. This was an example of automatic writing, which is when the spirit would take over the body of the medium or just their hand even, and use it to write a message. Brennan says the letter was signed with a personal pet name only Albert and Victoria used, and it was chock full of personal details.
Whoa.
Victoria was convinced. She sent for Lees, who held a seance in Buckingham Palace for her, and she was thrilled to hear Albert's voice once again. She invited Lees back over and over. In all, he held 9 seances for her. She finally asked if he wanted to take up residence in the palace and become the court medium. Lees consulted with his spirit guides, but they told him to decline. Fortunately, Albert wasn't too picky about who could speak for him. Lees, as Prince Albert, told the queen that a new medium had been chosen to be his conduit. Quote, the boy who used to carry my guns at Balmoral.
Now, this boy was John Brown, and he had been the prince's gilly, or the guy who goes along on fishing and hunting expeditions, especially in the Scottish Highlands. He would have been over 20 years old when he started working with the royals. But
not really a boy.
Right, yeah. But he worked with the family for years, so he became a personal friend of Albert's and was eventually promoted to a permanent position leading the Queen's pony. Victoria wasn't surprised that he was a medium either, because she had become convinced that he had a second sight when, only weeks before Albert's death, John Brown had said goodbye to them at Balmoral Castle, hoping they'd traveled safely and, quote, above all, that you may have no deaths in the family.
So, ooh, so she said, and then Albert died.
And then
like,
Albert
oh,
died.
Oh, shit, John like, saw that coming. Wow.
Although to say, I hope nobody dies, and then someone dies to me is suspicious.
Now you're a suspect, John. How'd you give him typhoid from Scotland?
But anyway, what most people saw at this point when Victoria turned to John Brown was a grieving widow turning to a close friend at a time that she was having a difficult time. But the Queen started to rely heavily on Brown, and his influence over her raised a lot of eyebrows. Now, we're going to get into that and maybe unravel the mystery of some of these spooky seances right after this break.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Have you made the switch to NYX? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from NYX. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from NYX are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try NYX. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to NYX. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. Sorry, I'm doing some of my yoga like, exercises
you
still.
You got a shake weight? So yeah, pretty quickly, Victoria started to rely kind of heavily on John Brown, her servant. And that was super weird for people around the castle. Mm-hmm. The Daily Mail recounts that she would gaze at one of her many busts of Albert when she was asked a question about what to do. Then she would look at John Brown before giving her answer.
Huh.
She consulted him about everything, or at least seemed to. He was also allowed kind of extraordinary license with his behavior. Hmm. He was allowed to smoke around her, which even her sons could not do.
Wow.
Her second son, the Duke of Edinburgh, even said that he had been evicted from Buckingham Palace for refusing to shake John's hand. Instead of calling Victoria Your Majesty, he would call her woman.
What? He'd
be like, hey, woman. And he would repeatedly tell her off to her face. Just lots of very clear instances of them being pretty intimate with one another. She
yeah.
allowed him a lot of freedom in the way he behaved around her. And he got very high-handed with the rest of the royal staff. And so it wasn't long before he was pretty universally hated
sure.
around the court. They
sure.
didn't like how much power this guy had.
Man. And no one could understand the hold that this guy had over the queen either. So naturally, most decided that Victoria and John Brown must have been lovers. Again,
the quickest.
A woman and a man spending time together.
I mean.
There was a lot to support that theory, though. The Guardian writes that John Brown had taken up residence in rooms adjoining the Queen's, according to a courtier, who said it was, quote, contrary to etiquette and even decency.
We remember that from our Queen Elizabeth I and Lord Robert Dudley episode,
sure.
when he had rooms next yeah. to hers. There was a lot of rumors.
Victoria's daughters joked about, quote, Mama's lover.
Mm.
And newspapers speculated that a secret marriage had even taken place, maybe even a secret child. And they began calling Queen Victoria Mrs. Brown.
Oh, Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Mrs. Brown is also the name of a 1997 movie about this relationship starring Judi Dench and the great Billy Connolly.
Mm.
The great Judi Dench. They're both the greats.
What?
They're both great. Victoria even created two medals of service just for John Brown, though one was given to him for foiling another possible assassination attempt. So that's legit. Like,
I just think
respectable,
faithful,
medal.
Meritorious yeah. service. You took a bullet for me.
But if, as Brennan writes, she believed that John Brown was a direct conduit to her beloved husband, it makes a lot of sense why he had so much influence over her.
Right, exactly. Now, a sculptor named Edgar Boehm spent several months at Balmoral sculpting a bust of John Brown for the Queen, and he once told Catherine Walters, who is one of Edward VII's mistresses, that, quote, the Queen, who had been passionately in love with her husband, got it into her head that somehow the prince's spirit had passed into Brown. So he believed she allowed him, quote, every conjugal privilege.
Mm.
Ooh. It seems that whenever she needed Albert's advice, she would simply get Brown to conduct a séance and tell her what Albert thought she should do.
Mm.
Once, the Daily Mail recounts, she left a meeting of the Privy Council to consult with Albert, returning to tell them, quote, the prince was hostile to any act of war by England. And then, of course, there were plenty of skeptics who were like, this guy does not have a direct line to the ghost of Albert. He is
right.
totally faking this. And they started thinking that, you know, he was kind of exploiting Victoria's well-known fascination with spiritualism. They started calling him, quote, Rasputin in a kilt.
Man, I mean, yeah, when he came back around and was like, Prince Albert says I can blow my smoke in your face, mm-hmm. woman. You know, yeah.
If he thinks it's best.
Prince Albert says time for a pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
When John Brown died in 1883... the rumors they somehow gained even more power because the Queen was devastated by his death, much like Albert's. She likened it to losing Albert. She said that life, quote, for a second time, had given her a heavy blow. She wrote, quote, perhaps never in history was there so strong and true an attachment, so warm and loving a friendship between the sovereign and servant.
Mm.
She wanted to write a memoir of John Brown's life, including all the seances that he had conducted for her. But she was advised against this. A lot of her writing about those seances ended up being burned.
So, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of the information about the seances.
Right. And when Queen Victoria herself died years later, her face was surrounded by her wedding veil, her hands covered in rings from Albert and her children, and she had one of Albert's cloaks, a handkerchief, and the plaster cast of his hand with her. But secretly, the doctor, James Reed, dropped a few other items in her coffin as well. John Brown's mother's wedding ring was placed on one of Victoria's fingers, his photograph in her hand, along with some of his hair and a handkerchief that belonged to him.
I mean,
so she was
mementos.
Like, yeah.
Of someone she really loved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, not everyone is convinced that they were lovers. There's not a lot of evidence to support it, like written down evidence or anything. They're not even convinced that John Brown really had that much influence on her. Huh. They're kind of like, it was an intimate relationship, but it doesn't follow that it was sexual.
Okay.
And he didn't really care about politics. So what would have been the point of the Rasputin and a kilt thing? There's lots of reasons for this. Some say Victoria would never consider lowering herself to have sex with a servant. She was not that type of gal. Or that Victoria didn't approve of widows remarrying, so she never would have had a secret marriage with this guy. Or, you know, she was also raised in a time when women were taught that men were superior. Even the queen was taught that. For example, she called Albert master, and he called her child, which is not that unusual. Child was kind of a common endearment for a man to call his wife.
Okay.
At that time. So, the, you know, their feeling is she could never see an inferior man who had to call her mistress or whatever as a partner. However, he called her woman, so we don't know.
I know, right?
Well, we don't know. But even in her own time, some of Victoria's court thought Brown was pretty harmless and, in fact, were relieved that she had put her trust in someone with zero political aspirations. He did not try to use that position to gain power for himself, for members of his family, nothing like that.
Interesting.
More often than not, when she was faced with a tough political issue, she wouldn't turn to Brown at all. She would turn to her favorite prime minister, Benjamin Disraeli, who, on his deathbed in 1881, quipped that no one should send for the queen, quote, "She would only ask me to take a message to Albert."
Oh, wow.
Which I just think is a funny
I love that they were they knew back then that she was just never stop talking about it.
No. Well, and I would also like to say that that's not the only seances she had. She also had seances with different mediums to talk to children of hers that had departed
no
before
kidding.
Her. So she had several. She was really into this.
She was like, into it. Okay.
She was into it. And again, it was well known. Disraeli's like, I don't want to talk to anyone's ghost.
Mm.
So there's a lot of reasons why people kind of dismiss this idea. They were just like, he was just a really good friend.
And the Oxford Dictionary of Biography likens John Brown to basically a court jester of old, right? For Victoria, the loss of Albert was also the loss of the one man on earth who could tell her about herself. And without him, she was surrounded by courtiers. Even her children were her subjects. They were all too terrified to talk to her like a person.
Yeah.
When Albert died, Victoria even said, quote, "Who will call me Victoria now?"
That's such a melancholy line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It made me sad to read that.
Yeah. John Brown's gruffness, his willingness to speak his mind to her, and his lack of interest in political power is pretty much exactly what she valued.
Mm-hmm.
When she asked Alfred Tennyson to write lines for John Brown's tombstone, she wrote about him, quote, "He had no thought but for me, my welfare, my comfort, my safety, my happiness. Courageous, unselfish, totally disinterested, discreet to the highest degree, speaking truth fearlessly, and telling me what he thought and considered to be just and right, without flattery, and without saying what would be pleasing if he did not think it right. The comfort of my daily life is gone. The void is terrible. The loss is irreparable."
I think that says a lot about
really
what she really liked about him.
Yeah.
And, you know, she liked sex. We know that about Victoria.
We do know that.
So,
well,
you know, maybe she did find herself some comfort somewhere.
She liked sex with Albert.
She did
we know
like
that.
Sex with Albert. That's
I mean, you didn't
true.
See, I don't remember seeing any journal entries about anybody else
no.
that she was banging.
She wrote a lot.
So maybe she tried and it was just like, ugh. Some things no one can replace Albert on.
I'd rather sleep with my plaster cast of his hand.
Oh, Albert's plaster cast is a more generous lover than you'll ever be, John Brown.
Damn.
I feel like John Brown doesn't sound like a generous lover to me.
He does not. He does not.
No.
There is a little story.
Okay.
Where her doctor, James Reed, once, like, happened upon the queen and John Brown together.
Okay.
And he don't know what they're joking about. The only two lines we know is that John Brown lifted his kilt to show his knee and said, "Is it here?" And Queen Victoria lifted her skirt and said, no, it is here.
Hmm.
So they're like, there's something going on there because it was very unusual in Victorian times to show your limb to a man. That was very, right. It may as well have popped a boob out at him or something. So the doctor clearly saw it as strange enough that he had to write it down in his diary. That's the reason we know about that story.
What's the old two knees joke?
The old two knees flirting.
Which knee is...
Yeah?
Which knee am I gonna... Well, I don't know what the old two knees joke is. Well, I guess that's lost to history forever.
We don't know the setup. Damn. We don't know the punchline.
The worst kind of joke.
But I kind of think, I don't know. It's just very funny because she's such an interesting character, Queen Victoria. She liked Benjamin Disraeli because he flattered her a lot. He even had a joke about like laying it on with a trowel or something like that. But then she likes John Brown because he doesn't.
Yeah.
So she clearly just needs different things from different people.
Right.
She likes having some guy around her that does not kowtow.
Sure.
And she liked having somebody who, I don't know, wasn't afraid of being fired or beheaded or something by her, you know, who could talk to her like a regular person and be a friend.
I mean, isn't that the real power of being a queen, too, is like, obviously people's default mode is going to be towards subservience and doing whatever they think makes you happy. But you can also get a couple people. You kind of have control over that. Mm-hmm. I don't have control over that. Like, people are going to do one or the other around me. I got nothing to say about it. And usually it's the latter. Usually it's people telling me to my face what's wrong with everything I'm doing. Present company included. So,
I don't know what you mean. I've never spoken a word of criticism.
So, you know, it just another benefit of that royal life, I guess.
Right. And the drawback, though, because I think, you know, everyone talking to her wanted something.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I like this guy. Don't want nothing from me. Yeah. He just wants to do what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. But how many of those people were offered up to her that she dismissed or
that's
punished?
I do wonder that.
You know, because at the same time, it's she wants everybody to tell her what she, you know, she wants people to be real with her until she doesn't one day.
Oh, yeah.
And is like, how dare you speak to me like that? I'm the queen.
Well, and she's the reason her kids were kind of afraid of her, too.
Yeah.
She never let them forget that she was the queen and not just their mother.
Yeah.
So that, you know, she had a little bit to you know, she had responsibility for that, for sure. But yeah, and I do wonder sometimes just with knowing about the Kensington system, how much, because she was a decisive person.
You know,
I'm not trying to take away her agency here as a queen. She made decisions. She was not just handing off her power right and left to different men or anything. But I do wonder how much she second-guessed herself just because of growing up with people being like, you should be second-guessing yourself at all times.
Right.
Not only did she have that coordinated campaign to make her like that, but she also was already growing up in a time where it's like, women aren't really that smart. Women don't really know what to do. Women don't know how life can't do life. And you know what I mean? So it's just like you have from so many different sides this feeling of, am I really the right person to be doing this? Should I not? You know what I mean? So anyway, I just feel like she must have had a lot of mixed emotions around that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where she's like, I need my respect that I deserve. And if you don't show it, I have to, you know, I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But also, I wish I had a friend who could just josh around with me about my knees. But two knees joke.
The old two knees joke. Oh, nobody's done two knees with me since Albert.
Who would play two knees with me now? So, you know, I don't know. Do you think she was fucking John Brown?
Do I think she was?
Based on this evidence?
I'll say, I don't know. It kind of feels like it because it's sort of, she's got like, In a sexual sense, she's got sub vibes to me, like a submissive.
She likes
having a daddy and you know, and like somebody who's sort of like the more dominant hand, plaster or flesh, whichever it may be. again, that might come back from social conditioning,
right?
Whether that was her upbringing or just like you said, women of the time or whatever. But she seemed to kind of maybe take some pleasure in someone who kind of stood up to her.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been thrilling. You see that a lot with people who are, I'm not saying you see it a lot, but that the general idea is that people in high-level, powerful positions in the bedroom are willing to hand that power over to someone else.
Yeah.
Right?
They want to not make decisions for a minute. Or they want to be told what to do.
And maybe not even just in the bedroom. It might even be in their relationship.
Sure.
You know, it's like, I go home and that the other person's in charge.
Yeah.
I'm in charge all day. So she, to me, their dynamic, hers and John Brown's, feels like that. Like he's like, hey, you do what I say. I call you woman. I do what I want around you. You know, was she like, did that kind of turn her on a little bit?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. No telling.
I got to wonder, too, if she's just like, one person has to love me specially, just me, and have my welfare at heart. I'm their main concern. Because she had Louise, her governess. Then she went to Albert. Then she went to John Brown. You know, she only has the one person, kind of, as a confidant. Everybody else is like everybody else.
Yeah.
So I wonder, too, if she's like not capable of having two confidants at once. Like she doesn't believe. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's just a pattern she got into.
Also, we kind of brought up earlier, but like, did John Brown ever say, oh, Albert wants to have sex with you, Victoria. So through me, he would like to. Mm. And of course, that's like kind of tantamount to rape, right? I mean, like I'm giving you false pretext. I'm taking advantage of your fragile emotional state to have sex with you. That's pretty twisted.
Right.
Did John Brown do that?
Did
I don't know.
He?
He certainly, I know he didn't use it to get political power, but if he's not communicating with the ghost of Prince Albert, and personally, I don't think he was, then he was using it for something. I mean, whether it was just a comfy bedroom to sleep in at night or, you know, getting laid by the queen. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, but also you have to keep in mind there's a different feeling in the UK about your queen. You know, there are plenty of people who are like, it would be the honor of my life, a privilege of my life to be a close person to the queen.
Sure.
I would like nothing more than to help them. And if he really did dedicate himself to her interests like that, he might have been like, whatever, it makes her feel better.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'll pretend
too.
To be Albert and I'll say, whatever you think is right is what you should do.
But you're going
to
let me smoke around you.
But I want to smoke.
Woman.
I don't know. I can't decide.
I don't know. The fact that he called her woman doesn't make me feel like he had all this reverence for the position of the queen.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't decide myself because I'm like, part of me is like, I don't believe it because she was just so in love with Albert and she was in love with him her whole life. She never stopped loving him. So I'm like, she never really considered herself open to love someone else. Yeah. I don't know if that means she said no one can have sex with me again.
Right.
But it seems to be really tied up. Sex and love were very tied up for her.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised, I think, if you found some real evidence of it. And I could see her being very lonely and wanting a friend and saying, you can call me whatever, I don't care. Because he had been Albert's friend, too.
Right.
So he knew Albert. He could talk to her about Albert. I don't know.
I think where I'm landing is that I think that combined her talking about him after he died, her grief and despair after John Brown died, being the only thing that ever matched Albert's death.
Very true.
And her being so in love with Albert and thinking that John Brown was a conduit for him, I think they were doing it.
They were doing it.
I think I do.
Fair enough.
But
fair enough.
It could
be.
There's only one way to know for sure, and that's to have a seance.
Prince Albert, if you're here.
I'm here, but I'm stuck in this camp.
Oh my God.
Get me out of here.
Well, speaking of the seances, I mean, we did hear some pretty gnarly stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They knew the courtier's names and all this. He was speaking with his voice and
gooey
all this
ectoplasm in the cabinets. Yeah.
So we can't know how real these seances are. We were not there.
Okay. We can have a pretty good idea.
I think there are some people who do seem to have a knack with, you know, contacting uncanny or having some kind of experience.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell them they weren't having an experience.
Sure.
But it must be said that, of course, there were tons of ways to fool people in Victoria's time.
Sure.
And people were doing it. It's a very lucrative scam.
When people want to believe something, it's a lot easier to convince them that it's happening.
Very true. And we're talking about desperate, sad people that they were preying on. So pretty fucked up predatory mediums would do a lot of crazy things to convince. For example, they would regularly hire actors and ventriloquists. so they could make voices and whispers, you know, sound around the room during a seance. Mm-hmm.
They would also use invisible ink, right? So all the medium would have to do is get some water sprinkled over a piece of paper, and then a message would appear.
As if it was being written. Yeah, chimney sweeps were paid to hang out in chimneys and rap on the flue in response to questions. Oh. So once for yes, twice for no, mm-hmm. and there's just a little seven-year-old up there or whatever.
I'm kind of into this one, too. They would make candles that included the deceased's perfume or cologne. So when they would light them, the breeze would come in and be like, it smells like my late husband in here. Oh, mm-hmm. my.
I mean, that would be very convincing, right? If you had a waft of your wife's perfume, sure. or something. Oh, my God. Of course, fake ectoplasm is easily made with normal household things like flour, water, and cornstarch, so not a hard thing to fake that up.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm often making pizza at night and be like, who got ectoplasm all over the counter? They even, obviously, photography was pretty new. Nobody really understood how photographs worked very well back then, so the people who did could make spirit photos by overlaying underdeveloped portraits that would make it seem like there was this ghostly figure mm-hmm. captured in there. Right. Now, I mean, I can't even see a real photo that I took myself without thinking, eh, Photoshop, AI, something that's fake.
But of course, photography at the time,
yeah,
that was the only way to capture the truth. So
yeah.
If you saw a ghostly figure, it must have been there.
It must have
you
been
know?
There.
So lots of ways to mess with people.
Right.
And I do think it's really funny that they would go into a cabinet.
This is what, that's the one that really got me.
I'm going to watch you. Thank you very much.
Turn around and I will speak to the medium.
I have invisibility powers, but only when you don't
yeah, only
look
when
at
you're
me.
Not looking at me.
So yeah, you know, and of course, we've all seen a million of these types of fakers, right?
Sure.
It's Victoria's fascination with spiritualism was so well known that it's possible that whoever Robert James Lees and whoever he was working with for these seances deliberately said, let's get a message from Albert because then the queen will notice
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And then they might have said, oh, well, let's make sure we know if she's going to send somebody mm-hmm. to see how real you are. Let's mm-hmm. make sure we know who they are and when they come in.
Let's get their names.
Uh-huh. Yep. They might have had somebody in the court, you know, leaking information to
oh,
them.
Oh, sure.
They would
yeah,
have
yeah.
some private details. It's not hard to imagine how you could hoax this
she's
up.
She's sending Gerald and Philip.
And then make sure he says something about how glad he is she still has his hand.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
that's
the
good.
Night
that's good. That's good.
To comfort. She'll know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, Lees might have been like a good impressionist. You know, they must have heard Albert talk
yeah,
before
sure.
I gave a speech or something so they could fake up his voice somehow or something like that.
Okay.
But, you know, it is also possible that the veil between living and dead is thinner than we think. Especially in spooky season.
Oh, true.
Could be true that something of our souls or our consciousness can imprint itself on the world and leave itself behind. It could be true that there's something with us right now!
Oh, spooky. Okay, all right. A royal seance for a dead prince ghost.
A dead prince ghost.
Okay.
Now my other question is,
yeah.
if there really is a ghost of Prince Albert hanging out, are he and Victoria hanging out?
I would hope so.
Or is he like lonely because no one talks to him anymore?
I hope that if she, because Queen Victoria is a ghost now too, in that case.
Right.
They're doing it in the beyond.
And leaving ectoplasm all over
oh,
the palace.
No. She tossed away that plaster hand and was like, finally, I don't need this anymore.
Give me some spirit fingers.
Oh, man. That's the spookiest image of all. Well, I like it. I don't know. I would love to see Lees setting up this ghost heist, basically,
right?
You know? Also, insane to me that if they did, if they were like, Queen Victoria, she's into spiritualism. Let's see if we can nab her. Like, if you're running a con operation mm-hmm. of spiritualism and ghosts, you're going to go for a fish that big. That's ballsy.
Yeah, it is.
Because that is drawing a lot of attention to yourself And, you know, fortunately she bought it. But to me, that's like we're going to rob the Bellagio. You know, that's the big score that a lot of people have been like, ah, why would you put yourself in that danger? Mm. I'm perfectly happy going after the First National Bank a couple of times.
This guy was like, I'm made for life, though, as a medium.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you must think that.
Yeah.
And especially because male mediums were less popular.
Yeah.
So maybe he was like, I really need to stand out. If I do some seances at Buckingham Palace, I mean, I'll be in demand.
He told his crew, this one last score, and then we're out.
We're
set
done.
For life.
Right.
We'll be sipping martinis in Malibu.
What's a martini?
Surely they have martinis. Malibu? Yeah, that's the better question. Okay. All right. Well, here's my question to you then.
What's that?
What historical figure would you seance with?
That I would most want to call to me and ask questions.
Yeah, you get one little seance. It's the classic, like, who would you have lunch with? But they're actually dead.
Right. And they can only speak in taps and raps or some shit.
Yeah, taps and raps or through a medium conduit.
Okay.
Listeners, I want you to email us your answers as well.
Yes, would love to know. Who would I seance with? Mm-hmm. God, this is tough. So many people.
I know what you're doing in your mind, too.
What am I doing?
Well, it could be this, but then what about this? But then if I didn't do that, mm-hmm.
Would I rather seance with someone who could tell me more about myself and my family history?
Nah.
Or somebody, you know, way from the past, or somebody who might have the key to a long-held mystery
or cold case
or something? That would be pretty cool to be able to find out.
What about somebody's just got some good stories, you know?
I know, right? That's really what I'm like, honestly, would rather just be like, tell me, you know, about, I don't know, some cool party you went to and all the people that were there.
Yeah, Mark Twain.
Yeah, Mark Twain would be really fun. I was thinking about Oscar Wilde. I think he would be interesting.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure.
Tell me everybody he was really talking about when he wrote The Importance of Being Earnest or whatever. Or whatever. That's what I don't know. I feel like some part of me would be like, I'd rather talk to my dad's mom who died when I was 10.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I would love to know more about her life and like what, you know, give me some of the dirt, you know, from your life and your family and stuff, because we don't really know much about it.
Yeah, we only got your son's version.
I know, right? And he only got, you know, probably your highly edited version because he's your son.
Exactly.
You're not going to tell him everything.
Yeah.
So I need to know the truth. I want to know what really is going on with her, why she left Edinburgh, what's, you know, all that stuff. So I don't know. That would be really fun. But it would also be really cool to be like, hey, Governor Morris, tell me about the founding of America.
Yeah, true.
And all your fun house parties and stuff. Who would you Who would you talk to?
I think I would talk to, right now, I just want to go to John Brown and be like, what was Scott? I need answers here, buddy. Were you guys doing it or not?
There you go. Now, see,
but
that
that's
would
just
because
it's on my mind.
I know.
I don't know. Mostly, I just want to hear what you all think.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your spiritual seances. Tell us if you've had one, because I'll tell you. And here's another question for you. Have you had communication with the other side?
Yes. I would love to know that.
What about you?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
Never once?
I have not. And I have been to a seance.
Yeah.
We have actually conducted one.
Yeah.
And I was not a believer. And
now,
I wasn't by the end either. But a lot of people that were there said that they felt things.
Well,
so
especially the person I was Ouija-ing with. The Ouija was going nuts.
Yeah.
And she straight up told me half an hour later, oh, yeah, I was moving that all over the place. And she is a believer. So I don't understand why that was what was happening there. But I did see a spooky spirit when I was a kid in my house, and others had claimed to see it as well, a young girl standing at the top of our basement stairs. So that was...
I do remember that.
Probably one that stuck with me. And then I think I have told this story about when I when the children's book that played sounds was going off in the middle of the night, and I thought it was a train. But what I remember... as I was waking up, was pushing the button on a, like reaching up and pushing some sort of button, which after I knew that it was a book of sounds, I was like, oh my God, was that book like floating over my head and I pushed the button?
Oh, creepy.
And then also I distinctly remember once as a kid looking up at the ceiling and the shadows from my lamp, like turned into a face, like an animated face that was talking.
Whoa, that's
creepy.
Yeah,
that one, I'll never forget that one.
That's very creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, but
man,
I haven't had
anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be happy or not.
I was going to say, honestly, don't recommend it. All his memories have stuck with me and not in a positive way. I mean, they're cool stories, you know, but yeah, I got other stories.
The principal of my high school told us once, she was a very pragmatic person, not a believer in magic.
Yeah.
But she said she experienced someone with telekinesis once. No, she watched her move a lamp from one side of the room to the other moving, just with her eyes or something.
That's one I don't believe because I have been trying so hard to move stuff with my mind. If you see me and I'm not actively engaged in conversation, I'm probably trying to move things around in my mind.
My only thought is that what if it's harder to move with your mind than with your body? So you'd just be like, I'd rather just fucking pick up the lamp. It gives me such a headache.
I always thought that if the power is that you can teleport, but it takes as long as it would for you to walk.
Oh,
would you still do it?
Would you bother?
I mean, yes.
I mean, yes.
Because I wouldn't have to walk.
He said, the thing is that I don't have to walk. I guess the question would be if it takes as long as a flight, though. Like if you could teleport from here to Europe, but it took as long.
As a flight?
As a flight from here
absolutely.
To Europe. Would you still teleport?
Why wouldn't I?
Obviously you
would. I don't have to deal with the airport.
Pay anybody anything.
My question is, if it took you as long as it took to walk, so it would
to
take,
Europe.
You know, for, you know, yeah, whatever, weeks probably to get to Europe, would you fly? Or would you still teleport?
I'd probably fly.
I don't know. My time's not that valuable.
Wow.
If I don't have to deal with the airport, if I don't have to get on a plane, if I don't have to get up
and
move.
You would rather...
Look, I've often said that with superpowers, I would be the laziest super person. I won't even say superhero of all time. I would be a real fat Spider-Man because I'd be just getting, I'd just be web slinging Doritos
directly in your mouth
from the cabinet to my lap. And that'd be the long and short of my spider powers.
You know, that is a stone left unturned by a lot of these
right
superhero shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we complained about this, about the Flash on CW.
Yeah.
Is that anybody who got powers besides the Flash was a bad guy, decided
automatic.
To immediately be evil.
Yeah.
And we were like, where are all the people that would get powers and literally do nothing?
Like, just
they would,
like,
they
would
not change their life very significantly. Yeah. They would just like, oh, now I don't have to get up out of my bed to turn on the light.
Right. It'd probably be like, oh, I can control the weather. Great. It's raining today and I want to go outside, so I'm going to make it not rain. Or like, I don't feel like going anywhere today, so I'm going to do a little thunderstorm and read a book.
Yeah.
That's probably most people. That's
most
the extent
people,
of it.
Right. Would be like, I'm going to make sure it rains on my ex's wedding day or something.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
It's not going to be.
Maybe little scampy stuff like that. But
how
not like,
people...
I'm going to craft a tornado so I can rob a bank. Like,
I mean, how many people really want to do all that?
No.
It's a lot of effort is what I'm saying. And a lot of people don't like to put in a lot of effort.
Well, and I would argue that for most people, not being able to form a tornado at will is not the thing stopping them from robbing a bank.
Very true.
It's not the only thing. Man, it's the only thing holding me back from robbing that bank. But I'll tell you, if I could create a tornado with my hands, it's over for you.
It's over for all y'all. I'll be up in that First National.
Right. The Bellagio, whichever.
All y'all would get robbed. Like, what does a tornado play into this heist? Anyway.
You know, tornado comes through the roof. It's
into the vault, sucks up all the money.
Now you've got
money,
a money tornado.
You funnel it up to yourself.
Goes to the sky.
Oh, okay. Well, then now it makes sense. Now I feel like if you can make a tornado, it's kind of weird.
Why wouldn't you? Well,
the effort is not as much as I expected.
All right. I'm switching my exercises in telekinesis to now tornado creation.
So that we can rob banks.
So we can rob banks. What a life.
Well, anyway, ostensibly, this episode is about Queen Victoria.
Somewhere in
somehow,
here, we've been talking about
and
Queen
Prince
Victoria.
Albert in a can.
Yeah.
So hopefully you enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun for us to talk about
it. You put a lot of sauce on that, hopefully.
Hopefully. please do reach out and tell us about your spooky experiences or whom you would want to talk to if you were able to contact them in a seance with, you know, a legit Robert James Lee's or whatever. You can reach us through email. It's RidicRomance@gmail.com.
That's right. Or we're on Instagram. I'm at Oh Great, It's Eli.
I'm at Dynamite Boom.
And the show is at RidicRomance.
And we love you. We can't wait to contact more people from the beyond.
Yes. Back
for
soon.
Another episode of Cryptidus Romance.
So long, friends, it's time to leave. But we'll rise again on Hallow's Eve. Put your friends in a vampiric trance and play for them our show, Recriptulous Romance!
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.